Toronto Geo. Welcome to the Sarah and Paddy podcast.
Hello, it's producer Alan, and this is the Sarah and Paddy podcast. In this edition, we chat with Ashley Mullaney, US correspondent for Channel 7, about the floods hitting Houston at the moment. We ran another snap poll, who's better at driving, males or females? Let us know what you think now on the 2GO Facebook page. And we reflected the amazing life of Dean Mercer, who tragically lost his life on the Gold Coast yesterday.
Really bad what's happening in Houston at the moment.
Catastrophic floods feared by US authorities in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey have hit Houston. Rescuers are working non-stop, battling heavy rains and rapidly rising waters to help stranded residents.
And in Houston this morning, for Channel 7, their US correspondent is Ashley Mullaney. She joins us this morning. Good morning, Ash.
Ash, thank you so much for your time.
Good morning, guys.
We have never seen such flooding in our lives, and we're hearing it's a once-in-a-million-year event.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all to hear something like that. It's just unbelievable, the scale of the devastation, and I'm looking at it from the ground level. We are basically in ground zero in Houston at the moment, where I'm standing at the moment. I'm in downtown, just next to the university, which is just... Everywhere you look, there's water, and every road you try and drive down, there's water. And this is just such a dangerous situation. And, you know, you can see the destruction in terms of homes and property damage, but my fear really is that we are a long way from knowing what the toll is for lives. I mean, there's just no end in sight at the moment for this rain. And until that water starts to recede, I don't think we're going to have any idea just how much loss of life there has been, because I'm sure there have been plenty of people that just couldn't make it out.
Now, working in a newsroom, a busy one at that, you would see lots of images. And you were saying off air, you have never seen anything like this. It's quite staggering.
It is staggering. It's just, you know, someone described this as a disaster happening in slow motion. And that kind of is what it feels like. You know, oftentimes there'll be a cyclone that comes through, or in this case, Hurricane Harvey. But, you know, and it will sweep through quickly. The damage is done. There's a trail of destruction. But this is just dragging on for days and days, and it is just hard to imagine how this city could possibly withstand any more water, but it's coming. By the time Harvey is done with Houston, it will be 1.2 metres of water.
Oh.
Now, that is a year's worth of rain that they would normally receive here, more than, I think it's double what Melbourne would receive in a year. So this is just a staggering amount of water, and it's got nowhere to go.
And where are the people going? What's happening with them? I'm hearing that they're being advised not to climb into attics and things like that where they'll be trapped. But what are they meant to do? We're seeing images of retirement homes with people just sitting in water.
Oh, it's just heartbreaking. I think I know that photo that you're talking about where they're sitting there waist deep in water waiting to be rescued. And it was so distressing that I think a lot of people thought it was fake. But it was actually the daughter of that nursing home who put that out on Twitter, just hoping to get someone's attention. And thankfully, some of them were rescued. But it's really taken people by surprise. I think there was warning of flooding, but a lot of neighbours were relying on people who had lived in certain suburbs for 40 or 50 years who have said they've lived through Ike, they've lived through, you know, all of these huge hurricanes and never had flooding. Well, it's now not just at their doorstep, it is now inundating homes. It's up to the second story of many homes. And then in some instances, people are climbing into attics and then having to smash their way with axes to get to the rooftop. And that's why police are saying, you know, if you need to be rescued, climb to the rooftops. And you've seen some of those dramatic pictures of people being pulled off the roof. But they're just running out of resources too. Authorities are completely overwhelmed. And now it's down to the citizens here who are using their own boats, people who have come from interstate to bring their boats and try and help with the rescues. But it's getting desperate, you know. I was just talking to a paramedic on the phone who's doing rescues, and he said it's getting to the point now where people are just, they're exhausted and they're tired, and it's starting to get to that point where they can't rescue everyone, and so people are getting angry. He's heard of people trying to jump on boats and take over boats because they've been left behind.
Desperation.
These people are in desperate need of help.
I read this morning where 34 trillion litres of water has fallen on Houston in a few days, and that's equivalent to filling something like 13.6 million Olympic swimming pools, and that's what has fallen, and more, as you said, more to come. It just blows you away. It's staggering.
it is staggering. And Houston itself, to give you an idea, is it's a really low-lying city. It's not all that far above sea level. And where I'm standing at the moment, we are near one of the... There's a heap of bayous that sort of meander through the city. And that's adding to the problem too, because these bayous are swelling. And where I am now, you know, it's completely flooding the street. And it's just because it is such a low-lying city too that it just can't handle this amount of water. I don't think any city could be prepared for this amount of water. And, you know, authorities are saying that there's days to come, but this recovery is going to take years.
How many people have been displaced, do you know?
Well, they're saying that there's about 30,000 in emergency shelters. And that paramedic that I spoke to, he said they're starting to move some of them out to Dallas and other cities in Houston. They're just filling up convention centres.
Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it, Ashley.
Thank you, Ashley.
Sarah and Patty's Snap Poll.
Driving men think women too are the better.
Who's the better driver?
Yeah.
Women have scored higher, but are they the better drivers? Hello.
Hey, Karen.
Hi, how you going, guys?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Karen, are you the better driver in your house?
Of course.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Of course. Yeah. I think with my brain, not my testes.
Oh, we can wrap it up there.
Oh, when does that happen? Thanks very much, Karen. Maybe once.
All the time.
Or twice a minute. Anyway, thanks for that, Karen.
Thanks, Karen.
See you. All right, one for the girls. We got Kerry from Morissette.
Kerry, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, we've decided to do it. We've gone there. Who's the better driver, men or women?
Well, it's a clear winner that it's women because we're organised. We don't have to stress when we're out driving because we know our times. We know when we have to be somewhere. We're men, no idea. So right. They rush.
Okay, at any stage I can hang up after this.
No, you won't. Thank you.
See you. See you, Gary. Bye. Gary. Oh, if this is another female bra burner, this is Debbie.
How dare you? Hello, Deb.
Oh, come
good
on.
Morning, guys.
We're ganged up. We're ganged up.
No, there's no one ganging up on
oh,
you.
Oh, sorry, not ganging up. No. I'm being honest here. Yeah. Good and bad drivers everywhere except my father-in-law. Yeah. Drives an automatic, 2 feet. Nearly goes through the windscreen every time I think, give me the keys. Give me the keys.
What is with the 2 feet?
Oh, I'm a thief. Doesn't know how to drive a manual.
All right, so one for the men.
Oh, yeah. No way. All see right. You, Deb.
Another one for the girls. Oh, finally, a little bit of sense is going to come to this argument.
Adam, hello.
Hello, mate.
G'day, how you going?
Yeah, good, buddy.
What are your thoughts, Adam? Are you a better driver than the ladies?
I'd have to say that I'm probably better in a defensive or a racing style of a manner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But my better half... And she would probably, if she was listening right now, she would probably say it too, that she would be better on the street, which I sort of kind of disagree, but I've seen it myself.
The proof's in the pudding.
They say men are risk takers and uncontrollable show offs, and also compulsively competitive to the point where every red light at the intersection is a potential race start. So, but not necessarily so.
I used to own a V8, and I agree with that totally.
Every opportunity, Adam.
Every opportunity.
All right. Okay. We've been outnumbered today.
A little bit outnumbered. Thank you, Adam. Thanks for your honesty.
See you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
See ya. We've got another Adam.
Hey, Adam. How are you?
Good. And I guess I agree with the other Adam.
Mm.
And I guess it depends on what your definition of what a good driver is.
Mm.
Women are probably safer drivers. But, yeah, as Adam was saying, we are the risk takers. We will go, I think I can get through there, where women would be more cautious.
Mm.
So I'd say men are better drivers, mm-hmm. but women are probably safer drivers.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. Thanks, Adam.
Thank you, mate.
Thank you.
A very rational
comment.
Good on you, mate. Thank you, Adam.
No worries. Thanks.
Now, see you, buddy. Bye, bud.
Give us a quick update on the score, Paddy.
Because
on Facebook, we've got the 2Joe Snap Poll live. So
it's 46 to the women.
To the ladies.
Ladies and 24 to the men.
Wow. So you're lagging
behind. A lot of women commenting, though.
Loads of girls, yeah. Katie says, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to go with males. Every near miss I've had is because some stupid woman's too busy doing her hair and makeup or chatting on the phone.
Exactly.
Tamara says, oh, 2GO, that's not fair. Both are bad times. Mm. I do get that. Helen, men compete where women tend to be more cooperative. Interesting.
Oh, no, not that lady who I let in the other day and she didn't even wave. Oh, jeez, I tell you what.
You like the wave, don't you?
Oh,
I wave.
And you go, come on, I've let you in there. You wouldn't have been in there
listen,
if it was...
Listen to him. Listen to him. That. Claire says, why do you think male drivers pay higher insurance premiums? Having said that, I've seen some shocking driving from female P-platers who seem to be emulating boys. Oh, okay. As in most things, it would be a better world if the boys emulated the girls instead. Kay says, female, Tina, both. Ben is risking everything with his comment.
This is the best comment of the morning
for
Benny.
I don't know, Ben.
This is brilliant. If go on.
You do it. I'm not
all right.
doing it.
If all have seen my mother-in-law drive, you'd be all voting male. Tick.
So he put his name to that.
Yep. Good morning, Benny, and
thank
you.
Hello to his mother-in-law.
Yep. Now, everyone who's called and got on air, we are putting you into the draw to win the Lala Ritual Experience.
If you come on air with us at all in the next couple of weeks, you are on the standby list for the Lionel Richie Experience.
How good is that? Really sad news came through yesterday.
He was named Australian Ironman champion twice, a fierce competitor, and until today still supremely fit. So the death of Dean Mercer at just 47 has shocked the surf lifesaving and wider communities. He leaves behind a wife and their four boys. Dean suffered a cardiac arrest while driving on the Gold Coast.
There's a few reasons we're speaking to this man, Chris Parker from Central Coast Surf Life Saving New South Wales. He joins us this morning. G'day, Chrissy.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Really well, mate. Really
we're okay,
well.
But last night we were shocked with the news of the death of someone very special to a lot of people, and I know locally as well, Chris.
Mm. Yeah, no, definitely the Surf Life Saving fraternity was certainly rocked, but also the Australian community, one of the greatest ever Ironman in surf life saving in Dean Mercer passed away, and certainly at the age of 47, very unexpected.
And mate, I know I was saying talking about this earlier on this morning with Sarah, there'd be so many people on the Central Coast
so
who
many.
Competed with him and also against him.
Oh, so true. I mean, whilst he was one of the greatest competitors and so well respected, he respected everyone else as well. I think that's the greatest thing about Dino Mercer. Legend of the sport, champion bloke, but had the time for everyone. And even right up until the Australian Championships as a coach, he would talk to one of the most popular people on the beach. And certainly locally, there's a lot of people that had some very tough races. I don't think too many people got up on him, but certainly was a very good friend of his.
And he did so much work outside of that with kids and, you know, as a lot of you guys do, put a lot of effort into the club and all that sort of stuff and a family, such a young and beautiful family. Such a loss.
Yeah, no, for sure. He literally lived and breathed the ocean. He was a professional Ironman at the age of 15 and he retired back in 2010 only at the age of 40. And he's just so tough, but what inspired him was the ocean and that love of it. And he continued to love it right up until this year and enjoyed passing that on to all the nippers, like a lot of surf lifesavers do, and continue, I guess, to enjoy the sport through others.
Mate, I just remember him and his brother Darren. Mm. Now, even Daniel Shade, we had Trevor Handy, Clint Robinson in the Nutri-Grain Super Series. It was just
magic times.
Yeah, it was really, really great to see these boys go around.
Oh, mate, yeah, phenomenal. I looked up to him as a kid like so many others did. He was just so tough. He didn't have a pain barrier, I don't think. He wasn't the fastest, but you just knew that even if he wasn't up there in the first leg, he would never give up. And I remember the test of the toughest where they ran through the desert and did some just crazy stuff. He'd just push himself through so much pain and loved winning.
And an inspiration to so many people, not the least of which his family, four beautiful young boys. I know they'll have a lot of support with the community up there, absolutely.
Oh, they will, yeah. That's the nice thing about the Surf Life Saving Movement. Definitely a family organisation, and there'll be a heap of people looking after his family, not just in the coming days, but ongoing. And, yeah, his legacy will certainly live on for a long time within this movement, but also in the Australian community. The Mercer brothers, I know, certainly Kellogg's and Kellogg's Nutri-Grain, he was the pin-up boy for over a decade, and certainly a celebrity within the community.
Yeah, way too young at 47. And, mate, with lifesaving, is it locally, is the season opening this weekend, buddy?
No, we've still got a little bit of time yet. The season opening's the 23rd of September, so...
Right.
Got a little bit of warming up to do.
Yeah.
But registrations are kicking off. So now's certainly the time to start thinking about getting your kid signed up for the Nippers.
Yeah.
And also think about becoming a lifesaver yourself, because it's a great organisation to be a part of.
Certainly is. Thank you so much, Chris.
No worries. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, Chris Parker, Surf Life Saving New South Wales Central Coast Division.
You've been listening to the Sarah and Paddy podcast. Catch them live weekdays from 5 on 107.7 2GO.